Our text for this morning is Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 20. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 20. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now we began the study of this portion of scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Hebrews 5 verse 11. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. This is where we started this portion of scripture, the study of this portion of scripture. And as said earlier, the writer to the Hebrews was going to begin his explanation of the heavenly priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not sure whether his readers were ready for what he was going to teach. And we recognize the problem. The problem was that they had become dull hearers. So we see in this section how the writer deals with three topics that relate to spiritual growth. To move on to maturity, we must deal with these three topics. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11. Right up to chapter 6 verse 20. Hebrews 5 11 to chapter 6 and verse 20. The first topic is the signs of spiritual childishness. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 11 to 14. Then is the appeal to spiritual maturity. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 12. And number 3, the foundation for spiritual security. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 20. Now we also said that we need to keep in mind that the emphasis here in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 right up to chapter 6 verse 20 is on making spiritual progress. And if we keep that emphasis in our minds, then we can move safely through this portion of scripture without misinterpreting the passage. Now we have already looked into the signs of spiritual childishness, Hebrews 5 11 to 14. And we looked into the appeal to spiritual maturity, Hebrews chapter 6 verses 1 to 12. Now we look at the foundation for spiritual security, Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 20. That's our text this morning. The foundation for spiritual security. The foundation of the spiritual security of the believer in Christ rests in, number one, the certainty of God's promise. The certainty of God's promise. Hebrews 6, 13 to 15. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. So there is a certainty of God's promise. And that's the foundation of our spiritual security. God's main promise to Abraham is recorded in Genesis chapter 22 verses 15 to 18. Genesis 22, 15 to 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now, in spite of Abraham's failures and sins, God kept his promise and Isaac was born. It is true that many of God's promises do not depend on our character but on his faithfulness. We see many of the servants of God failing in their lives, in character. But God's promise to them never fails. So God's promise does not depend on our character but on his faithfulness. Now this does not excuse our character. We will be accountable for our character. But God's promise does not depend on our character but on the fact that he is faithful. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 15 says that Abraham patiently waited. Hebrews 6:15. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. Now that phrase is the exact opposite of sluggish or slothful. He patiently waited. That's the exact opposite of sluggish or slothful, which is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. So that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The readers of this letter were about to give up because they were facing intense persecution and their endurance seemed to be running out. In Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 4 we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood." So they were going through persecution and they were getting weary. Their endurance seemed to be running out. So in other words, the writer is encouraging these believers, telling them, don't give up. You will obtain and enjoy what God has promised if you diligently apply yourself to spiritual growth. Now we Christians today have so much more of God's promises, much more than what Abraham had. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise." Ephesians chapter 3 verse 6. "This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." Then the question is, why are we lacking in making spiritual progress? Why is it that we are not moving forward? The answer is because we do not apply ourselves to these promises by faith. And therefore we are not progressing. So faith is so important for us to lay hold of these promises and to move forward. Romans chapter 4 verse 12. "And to make him the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised." Romans 4 verse 16. "That is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Remember the illustration of the farmer? We saw that last time. Returning to that illustration of the farmer, let's take note of this. The farmer does not reap a harvest by sitting on the porch in his house and looking at the seed packet in his hand. He must get busy. He needs to plow the field, plant, weed, cultivate, water the soil. The believer who neglects the fellowship of God's people, the believer who ignores church, ignores his Bible, and forgets to pray, is not going to reap much of a harvest. So let us make sure that we are like the diligent, hard-working farmer, not like the sluggard described in Proverbs chapter 24. Remember Proverbs chapter 24 verses 30 to 34. "I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." Once we get to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of our lives, we can then know God's will for our lives. And He will empower us by His Spirit to do His will. We not only know the general will of God for our lives, we also know why God created, what was His, why God created us, and what was God's specific purpose and will. What is God's specific purpose and will for our lives? We serve Him then out of love for Him, and we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and equipped to do His will because He is interceding for us in heaven. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20 to 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we serve Him like Martha worked and served, and we worship Him like Mary loved and worshipped. We love Him, worship Him, and we serve Him. We are able to know His will and do His will because He reveals His will to us. Psalm 139 verse 16. Once you know Christ as Savior and Lord, this is what happens. God reveals His will to us. Psalm 139 verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And we can serve Him diligently like Moses served Him. Moses wrote in Psalm 90, Psalm 90, Psalm 90 and verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Now we know that our lifespan on earth is brief. Life itself is fragile. But the whole purpose of living on earth becomes so meaningful because we know for sure that we are here to do His will. We are saved to do good works. And those good works He foreordained before the foundation of the world was laid for us, so that we can walk in them. We are not saved by good works. We are saved by grace through faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But we are saved to do the good works that He planned for us before the foundation of the world was laid. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We also know that one day we will have to give an account of our lives to Jesus Christ, who saved us and made us His. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So we desire to serve Him with all our hearts, mind, soul and strength. We can serve Him because He equips us. He gives us every resource that we need so that we can serve Him. And we can serve Him and please Him in all that we do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. And all that we do it as an outpouring of worship to our Lord. Colossians chapter 3 verse 23. Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So we live doing the will of God. We are not living aimless and selfish lives on earth. We seek God's kingdom. He has told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we seek God's kingdom and we do His will diligently with purpose. We become disciplined, diligent workers, giving glory to God while on earth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 24 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 24 to 26. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air. Now the second reason for our foundation of spiritual security is it is God's own oath. Number one, it is the certainty of God's promise. Number two, it is God's own oath. So that's the second reason for our foundation of spiritual security. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 16 to 18. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes an oath is final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. Now God not only gave Abraham a promise, but he also confirmed that promise with an oath. Now when a witness takes an oath in court, he uses the words, "So help me God." So help me God. That's how he takes an oath in court. We call on the greater to witness for the lesser. But no one is greater than God. So what did God do? He swore by himself. But God did not do this only for Abraham. God has also given his promise and oath to the heirs of the promise. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath. Abraham and his descendants are the first of these heirs. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 9. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. So Abraham and his descendants are the first of these heirs. But all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are included as Abraham's spiritual seed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. That includes all Gentiles. That includes you and me. So our assurance of salvation is guaranteed by God's promise and God's oath. And these are the two immutable or unchangeable things. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things. What are these two unchangeable things? God's promise and God's oath. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18. So that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have strong consolation. I think the King James Version uses strong consolation. Or strong encouragement. The ESV says strong encouragement. Or great encouragement. So we have strong consolation, strong encouragement, great encouragement concerning the hope that is set before us. So Hebrews is a book of encouragement, not discouragement. Many people read Hebrews and get discouraged after reading Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10. They get confused, they don't understand what it means, and they get discouraged. It is not a book of discouragement, it is a book of encouragement. Now this phrase, fled for refuge, Hebrews chapter 6 verse 18, we who have fled for refuge, that suggests the Old Testament cities of refuge. That's described in Numbers chapter 35 and in Joshua chapter 20. I read to you Numbers chapter 35 verses 9 to 11, Numbers 35 verses 9 to 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall select cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person without intent may flee there. So God appointed six cities, three on each side of the Jordan River, into which a man could flee if he had accidentally killed someone. The elders of the city would investigate the case. And if the elders of the city determined that it was indeed accidental killing or manslaughter and not murder, they would permit the man to live in the city until the death of the high priest. Then this man could return to his home. The members of the slain man's family could not avenge themselves so long as this man remained in the city of refuge. Now every believer has fled to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is our eternal refuge. As our high priest in heaven, he will never die. Hebrews 7 verses 23 to 27. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he is our eternal refuge, and every believer has run to him for this refuge, and he is our high priest in heaven, and he will never die because he died once and for all for us, on our behalf, as our representative. And he drew us out of the domain of darkness and made us his. And he promises us, no one can pluck you out of my hands. So we have eternal salvation, and no avenger can touch us, because he has already died and he rose from the dead. And we have been delivered from the domain of darkness, and we have been translated into the kingdom of light. We have been translated into the kingdom of his son. Colossians 1 verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. God the Father has put you and me in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. But of him, who is the him there? It is God the Father. But of him you are in Christ Jesus. The King James Version reads, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. So God put you and me into Christ, and he did this by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. So all that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ has happened to us. In other words, he included us in his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. We are raised up with Christ. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now, this is not a myth. This is not a story. This is a historical fact. Remember, you and I were in Adam. Romans chapter 5 speaks about that. We were in Adam. Adam was the federal head of the human race. And you and I were in Adam when Adam sinned. But the moment we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what happened? God took us out of Adam and put us in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 to 6. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if we grasp this truth about our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we will not flirt with the world and the flesh and the devil. We will not be slothful and sluggish. We will move on to maturity, diligently seeking God and his will and doing his will. Colossians chapter 3 verse 3, the King James Version. I like the King James Version here. It says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. It doesn't say that you have tried to die. No, no, no. It says we can never crucify ourselves, and we can't do anything for our own salvation. Jesus did it all for us, and God the Father put us in Jesus. That's why it says here in Colossians 3 verse 3, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Romans chapter 6 verse 11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the glorious truth. When Jesus died on the cross, he died as our substitute. He died as our representative. And we died with him. And we were buried with him. We rose again with him. We ascended with him. We are seated with him in the heavenly places. That's our permanent address. And that salvation is eternal because Jesus is the one who has included us in all that he did when he came into this world and died and rose again from the dead. Now the third reason for our foundation of spiritual security is this fact that our spiritual security is because of God's own Son. God's own Son. He is the one who gives us eternal spiritual security. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Our hope in Jesus Christ is like an anchor for the soul. The anchor was a popular symbol in the early church. Archaeologists tell us that at least 66 pictures of anchors have been found in the catacombs. And these were the places where many Christian martyrs were buried. And we are told that the believers fled during the time of persecution and hid themselves in the catacombs. The Christian has just one single anchor. And that anchor is Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. But this spiritual anchor is different from material anchors on ships. In Hebrews chapter 6 verses 19 to 20 we read, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. What is the difference in this anchor? Number one, we are anchored upward to heaven. We are not anchored downward, we are anchored upward to heaven. Number two, we are anchored not to stand still, but to move ahead. Number three, our anchor is sure. It cannot break and it is steadfast. It cannot slip. No earthly anchor can give that kind of security. No one else but the Lord Jesus Christ can give you this eternal security. You know for sure that when you die, you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. When you're alive, you live for him. So whether we are alive or whether we are dead, we live for him. The writer then finalizes the argument. He finalizes the argument and he says, this Savior is our forerunner who has gone ahead to heaven so that we will one day follow him. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We'll come to Melchizedek next time when we study Hebrews chapter 7. The Old Testament high priest was not a forerunner. Nobody could follow the Old Testament high priest into the Holy of Holies behind the curtain. But Jesus Christ has gone to heaven so that one day we will follow. There are two phrases here that we must consider. Number one, the phrase is behind the curtain, behind the curtain. Hebrews 6 verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. Number two, there is the phrase outside the camp. Hebrews 13 verse 13. Therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Now these two phrases summarize the whole epistle to the Hebrews. Jesus Christ is behind the curtain as our high priest. We can therefore come boldly to his throne and receive all the help that we need to live our lives on earth, so that we can know his will and do his will, empowered by his spirit to live on earth, because we can enter behind the curtain. We can boldly come before the throne room of God and receive all the help that we need. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. But we must not be secret Christians. We must be willing to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ in his rejection, and we must go outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 13. Hebrews 13 verse 13. Therefore let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. Now the Hebrew believers who received this letter, I told you they were going through persecution, and they were tempted to compromise to avoid that kind of an approach of going outside the camp. But if we live behind the curtain, we will have no trouble going outside the camp. There is a world outside that needs to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you are in deep communion with the Lord Jesus Christ behind the curtain on a day-to-day basis, then we will hear his voice and we will obey him, we will do his will. He will share his burdens with us and we can reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will show us what his will is for us in this great commission of winning the lost. He will show us what our part is, what his will is for us. Remember, that is why Jesus left glory. That is why he was born of a virgin and partook of human flesh. That is why he shed his blood on the cross. That is why he rose again from the dead. And that is why he is exalted and seated at the right hand of God. And that is why you and I have been put into him in his death, burial, resurrection and ascension. If you were alive on earth when Jesus lived on earth, and if you had gone up to him and asked him the question, Lord, why did you leave glory? Why did you come into this world? He would tell you in one sentence, and that's recorded in Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's God's purpose. That's God's will for our lives. Once we are involved in this purpose, he will show us exactly what he wants us to do. Before he was taken up to heaven, he spoke these words. Matthew chapter 28 verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So there is a lost world outside that needs to be won for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I who know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we can go behind the curtain and receive every resource that is needed through the Holy Spirit to live out the life that he has for us on earth, the purpose for which he created us and redeemed us, so that we can do his will and win the lost for Christ. That's why God has placed us on this earth. This lost world needs to be won back to God. And that's why Jesus left glory. That's why he came. That's why he died. That's why he rose again. That's why he chose you and me to be his, to know him and to make him known. Remember that you are saved to go on to maturity. God has made it possible for us to go on to maturity. So let us not drift from the word. Remember Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 to 4. Drifting from the word. Let us not drift from the word. Because if we do so, then we will also start to doubt the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3 verses 7. Verse 7 to chapter 4 verse 13. Hebrews 3 verse 7 to chapter 4 verse 13. If we drift from the word of God, we will start to doubt the word of God. Before long, we will get dull toward the word. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 11 to Hebrews chapter 6 verse 20. And then we will become lazy believers. God forbid that this should happen. Let us live a life to the fullness of which God wants us to live by the power, by the enabling power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Christ lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and let him live in and through us so that the world outside would see Jesus and be drawn to Jesus. The best way to keep from drifting is to lay hold of the anchor. Lay hold of the anchor. We are anchored heavenward. So how much more secure can we be? How much more secure can we be? Let's bow our heads in prayer.